This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, thanks for listening to Remarkable Results Radio. I'm your host, Carm Capriotto, the pioneer of automotive aftermarket podcasts. Hey, this is the place where intelligent discussion meets great wisdom told through the essential voices of our industry. Mobile diagnostics is a growing segment of our industry, and I sat with Brandon Dills at ASTE, and we talked about his mobile diagnostic company, his investment, IT issues, training, ADAS, and even using a 3D printer. Brandon also shares his plans for the future with you. Hey, thanks to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for providing this episode. Hey, Apex 2021 is in the record books, and Apex sure did live up to presenting leading-edge technology from suppliers, but they did a great job of showcasing the emerging tech of tomorrow. Really good stuff there. You have plenty of time to plan for 2022, November 1st through the 3rd, 2022. Apex, now more than ever. You know, every piece of paper you touch adds up to seconds, minutes, and even hours of your staff's time. Get paper out of your business and unlock your employees' potential with Shopware's digital shop management software on the web at getshopware.com. Brandon Dills is with me from Jarhead Diagnostics. Thank Interesting you, sir. Name, Jarhead.
Yes, sir.
Let me guess. A Marine?
Yes, sir.
You were a Marine.
Yes, sir.
Well, I work for a living, so you don't have to call me sir.
It's a force of habit that started from a young age. So.
I'm with you. I get it. You know, I walk into a shop and I call a young 20-something clerk ma'am, and she looks at me like, oh, you're an old-timer. And I can't stop.
Nah, I'm the same way. You could be 5 years old or 80, whatever. Ma'am, yes, sir, all of it.
I get it. And you were a sergeant in the Marines, I think you told me.
Yes, sir.
You have a very interesting thing going on here. You have a mobile diag company, which is cool. We'll talk about that. You love to make tools, diag-type tools.
Yes, sir.
And you're a manufacturer, you say?
Yes, sir.
And a distributor for ATS, Pico, DrewTech, and even Isaac Rodell's
laptops.
Yes, cool. Sir. The Diag business, how long has it been since you've been in it?
So I actually started the mobile business at the start of COVID. So it was right at the beginning of May in 2020.
Oh, that's a good time to start
right? It was like, you know, the whole world's falling apart. Might as well just jump in feet first.
And so you justify doing this thing because if you stopped, you may have never started, right?
Correct. 100%. Yeah. And I've had people ask me, you know, wanting to kind of venture into the same sort of thing. And, well, how'd you get started? And I was like, I just ripped the Band-Aid off, you know? Just
cool.
You got to get into it.
So. I'm fascinated with the mobile business, Brandon. I look at it as a really pure specialty business. I mean, people, they open up shops and they do Euro. They open up shops, they do Asian. Many people are opening up ADAS centers or shops. And I look at mobile as, you know, a pure niche in the business. Lots of people starting to get in it. A lot of the people that have been in it for a while are growing and putting more and more vans or trucks on the road. What was the marketing strategy behind starting it?
Started out very, very cheap or humble, however you want to say it. Went online and just kind of made some personal flyers for what I was going to be starting out in. And then I just went boots on deck and started knocking on doors, all the shops, handing out my flyers. And first few shops I offered, you know, half off. Just so that way they could kind of understand what I was about and not just somebody coming in trying to still work for them or whatever.
So the half off was a try me. It's a one-time thing. You weren't really trying to, you know, pull the pricing down in the market. It was one-shot deal?
Correct. Whenever I gave them the flyers, they had a coupon with the half off. Right. So they gave me the coupon that was done. But it was literally just so that way they could see what I offered, and so that way they would realize that I would be an asset to them.
How many took advantage of that when you were first starting?
Three.
Okay,
but
that's cool.
But see, I probably went out to 50 shops or more. Three took advantage of it, but word of mouth picks up for people, and word of mouth, and just kept going forward. So
any advice to people wanting to start a mobile business?
If you've got the proper it factor, I guess you could say. You got to have fundamentals. You got to be able to understand stuff, because whenever they call you in, they've all the resorts have now been done. We're scrounging, and so
silver bullets all used up. Yep. Call a friend all
yep.
used up.
Yep,
and you've got to come in here and be the hero.
Well, that's all of us. I don't know. I try to stay humble as much as I can, but I fully understand.
It's okay. I mean, you know, I think self-confidence in what you know is I think critical for you to get up every morning and hit it.
Yes, sir.
Did you have to spend more money than you ever thought of to equip the truck?
Whenever I first started, I kind of started out small. Everything that I had originally from being in a shop, because I was a tech beforehand.
Okay.
Loaded up in my Tacoma and just got to work with what I had. And then as the months progressed, you know, I started realizing the tooling that I needed to invest in to make my life easier or be able to offer more things. And, you know, I did what a lot of people do. They start out with just a J25, 34 and basic stuff. But now I've got factory Ford, Chrysler, Chevy, Nissan.
In how many months did you invest in all this?
What are we, a year and a half later?
Okay,
so,
all right.
So in a year and a half, I've reinvested a lot of money back into the business. But as a business owner, people know that if you're not reinvesting and growing, then you're dying. So
where are you earning your best living? On the distribution side, the manufacturing side, or the mobile side?
To be honest with you, if I was to show you the analytics, it's literally almost even. So the money that I'm coming in, net revenue is 100% the mobile business, because it's mostly labor. Programming is a lot of labor.
Yeah.
The tool business, you know, I've got margins that are a little bit more strict than the mobile.
Tighter? They're tighter, yeah.
A lot tighter, so, yeah. Like, if you're just talking gross to gross, the mobile and the tools are bringing in about the same. Some weeks, the tools will bring in more, but that's also whenever you're looking at gross. Yeah. You know, I'm selling an $8,000 tool, so.
Who's buying your tools?
I've got a lot of shop owners that buy them, especially, like, the more high-ticketed ones. A lot of the in-house manufactured stuff is priced to where it's affordable for technicians, because I was a technician at heart. I know that, you know, you got to spend a lot of money to keep up with it. So,
hey, Carm here. Now keep listening to find out how Brandon got into his tool making business. Carm here. Well, I can't say enough about the quality of instructors and the high level of technical and management training that was offered inside Repair Shop HQ during Apex 2021. Hey, it's in the record books, but the great news is that show organizers for Apex 2022 are hard at work again, assembling the best and the brightest instructors and the most timely and needed training for shop owners and technicians. And now watch for a robust schedule of training and product demos on topics such as engine performance diagnostic strategies, how to be an effective leader, wheel alignment and ADAS calibrations, controller area networks, and using social media to grow your business, just to name a few. With this caliber of training, make sure Apex 2022 is on your calendar. Now that's November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. And together, let's make 2022 the year of growing sales, profits, and productivity for your business. Listen here for more Apex 2022 training and registration information. Are you stuck in small ticket rut? Well, that's exactly what happened to Dominic Linden and the team at Autobahn Service in Sheffield, Massachusetts. With the busy day-to-day bustle of shop operations, they didn't have time to chase customers for approval. They were caught in a cycle of low AROs, and they were losing those higher ticket jobs to competitors. Autobahn Service was introduced to Shopware, and just a few months after going live, the shop was so busy with new jobs that they actually needed to lower their car count. They are now able to be selective with the services they take on, and profits have never been better. Additionally, by tapping into Shopware's digital estimating capabilities, Autobahn Service has noticed an 89% average approval rate from customers. Their average RO before Shopware was $450, and now it's up to $700. Now, that's a 55% increase. Do the math. Reach your customers faster and get approved dollars up. GetShopware.com. Should every working technician have a scan tool on their tool bench?
In my personal opinion, this is me. I was also a tool geek, is I liked having my own stuff. So that way I didn't have to wait for the person, you know, two bays over to get done with scan tool. I had my own stuff.
If you went to a shop owner right now and say, listen, I know you need to use me, but your guy's got to do some of this work. They all need a scan tool, every one of them. And that scan tool needs to be as important in their arsenal as their half-inch ratchet. Do you agree with that?
100%. Not everyone needs the Altel Ultra, you know, 5000. Not every toolbox needs it. Being able to put, you know, the scan tool into tech's hands, you can go on the lower end, and that would greatly improve your business.
You're out there, you're seeing shops, and you're realizing that they're just not investing in equipment and or slash training. That bother you?
100%. The training is the biggest one. And, you know, coming up to this show, I probably told half my shops about ASTE. And to my knowledge, none of them's here. So,
is it apathy? Is it timing? Even if the owner didn't want to go to ASTE, wouldn't they have said, listen, guys, you got to go for this two-day thing. I'm paying the whole boat. Do you hear that?
I'll take that back. I do have one shop here. There is one of mine. But no, a bunch of them are, you know, we need training. It's like, okay, here's an event. Just it's in our area. We're an hour south of here. Come to the event. Oh, yeah, we will. And then I go back to them later. Did you guys sign up yet? No.
Would you do me a favor?
Yes, sir.
Would you follow up next week and said, hey, I was at the event. It was spectacular. I learned a lot. These are the classes that I attended. These are the ones that you could have gone to. Why didn't you show up? We keep accepting the excuse from as to why I don't train, why I don't think I need training. And we almost like, okay, I told a few and they didn't show up. Next year I'll tell a few, they won't show up. How do we make them understand that this is their future? And if they don't do this, they're not going to be around. Is it that easy to be in business and not have any training? I mean, is the business marked for, well, they'll be gone in 5 years. But we can see all of the people that shouldn't be in business
are still in business.
Are still in business, and they're hanging. It must be that easy to run a hobby like this.
I got one shop. He literally approached me, and this was, I don't know, about a month ago. Look, I've got this scan tool. I've got this scope. I really need training. Can you train me? And I was like, at the time, I was really busy. I couldn't set up anything with them. I was like, but ASTE, our way, massive show. You'll get all the training that you can imagine.
Oh.
And that was the end of the subject.
Because ASTE is not an easy button.
Correct.
And Brandon is an easy button.
Yes.
And if you had the word trainer in your title, you would probably have done it, but you earn your living doing other things. We've been talking to a ton of people. I mean, the studio here has been just a magnet for everybody coming in, and we've been talking about this.
Yes.
The only way people are going to survive, not only in technical training, but in business management, marketing training, leadership training.
Yes, 100%.
Where'd you get any of your business management training?
So I was in the Marine Corps, and then I was starting to get kind of fed up with the shops, you know, being a tech and everything, because I kind of plateaued in my career. I was trying to figure it out, and I was...
What do you mean plateau? I mean, you didn't get the job opportunities, the number of hours. What do you mean you plateaued?
I'm always striving to do more, and as a tech, sometimes you kind of get to that where you don't feel like you're going to get to that next step without doing something. So I took advantage of GI Bill and started working on my bachelor's degree in business management.
Oh, I love it.
About 3 years into the bachelor's, that was also whenever I was running Jarhead started, and then it kind of took over. So I ended up having to kind of drop out of it, but I've got 3 years of the business management, and I need to go back and finish my 1 year to get my bachelor's.
Well, okay. You know what? You did go to some probably great and smart training. I'm sure you'd love to get your bachelor's, but you invested in business training, and I give you all kinds of high fives on that. And if anyone is listening that hasn't invested in that kind of training, then it's shows like ASTE and Vision and Apex and ATE and all of them all around the country that bring in some of the best trainers in business management and marketing. All I need to do is to do maybe a virtual class on GDI.
Yeah.
And you do one a year and you think you're on top of your game.
You have to learn something new every day. I've always been told that, and that's I try and live my life. You have to learn something new every single day. And if you're not, then you're falling behind. So we're talking about training. COVID has opened up so much training avenue for people. It's unreal.
Like never before. And
it's all free.
Do you remember everybody came out with free training?
Yes.
For one whole year post-COVID. There's more of it still going on. In fact, I talked to trainers and I said, are we ever going to go back to paid training? And we're slowly getting back into that all-day thing, you know, for maybe, you know, $99 or so. But there's an awful lot of lunches and learns that are still free.
Free.
Free. Hello. Let me see. Can I knock on the door? Free. There's people from 24 states here in North Carolina.
I know for a fact that Master Automotive Training, they flew out. They're a training school. They flew out from California to here to take training.
Imagine that.
Yeah. Met another shop owner last night from Arizona. All over the country, whenever somebody tells me I can't, I don't have any sympathy for them.
So ADAS, is that going to have to be an evolution for you as a mobile?
Yes. Recently... it was probably about a month and a half ago now. No, 2 months. Sorry, time's been flying. I secured a warehouse. It's perfect for ADOS. So probably within the next about 4 or 5 months, I plan on investing into ADOS.
And 30, 40, 50,000, any idea?
I think it's ThinkCar came out with, they've got an ADOS set up. Entry level, it's not, you know, everything, but it's less than $10,000.
Okay, $10,000. Are you going to put that on the truck? I see you say you got a warehouse.
Yes,
but I know mobiles that are doing.
They're doing it.
They're doing mobile ADAS.
So
yeah.
I plan on doing some, but some of it I'd prefer to do there because you've got to have, like, with ADAS, it's got to be laid out good. Yeah. And some of the shops that I go to, it's not conducive for ADAS at all.
I agree. You can't, as a mobile, you cannot install your equipment in every place you go, but knowing that the mobile, and I know more mobiles that are having their building, their brick and mortar to back that up.
Correct.
Bring the car over. I'll do the ADAS calibration. As long as it's scheduled, you can still maintain your customers, your appointments of the day.
100%. And then even with my warehouse, a lot of the shops that I service that's had the more difficult vehicles, they've been starting to drop them off at my shop just to kind of make life easier.
So you're a tool junkie.
Yes.
You should have seen his face when he said that. Eyes rolled up. Yeah.
I think a drug addiction would probably be cheaper at this time.
That's great. You started making tools as a hobby. And how did you move to making digital or, you know, components for scanners and tools and testers?
So it was 2018, 2019. Bought my first scope. I was just excited. And then
said, because you want to learn something new every day. Yep. You're like me. I'm a perpetual student. Got to learn something new every day. You say, what are the possibilities here?
Correct. And so I made a tool. RVA sensor is what I call it. It's a pulse sensor. I made one just out of some PVC pipe and stuff and posted on Facebook. It wasn't like a buy tools for me. It was literally just a, this is freaking awesome.
It's like, hey, look what I did.
Yes, yeah. It was just, I was excited. It was like, man, look at this. Look what I made. I was happy. And somebody messaged me, hey, can I buy one? I was like, yeah, I mean, sure, whatever. I was just making it for a hobby. Can I buy one? And it didn't stop. And then it got to the point, like with just the tooling alone, I mean, I was working full-time in my shop or at the shop that I was at, coming home and then working until 1, 2 o'clock in the morning.
How many did you sell until you improved it?
Probably 40 to 50, maybe a little bit more.
40 to 50, and then you said, hey, we got to do Gen 2 or something like that.
Yeah.
And what were the big changes between the one and first and the second?
So I always feel that like a business needs to advance and just in general. And I wanted to look more professional. Like I said, I was using PVC pipe stuff, and I was like, I wonder if I could 3D print one, 3D print the housing and everything. So for Christmas at 2019, it was my mom got me a 3D printer for my Christmas present. She's like, you know, because I'd been talking about it.
She saw something in you.
So she got me a 3D printer. She got it early. It was like an early Christmas, beginning of December. We put it together, started playing with 3D printer. Then my wife at the time, she learned how to use CAD, designed our first one, printed it, and then next thing I know, I'm selling those constantly.
Wow. Still today?
Oh yeah,
and it must be. You don't do it on Facebook anymore. You probably have a website, right?
Well, I got my website, and then I still try and have a social media presence, but
sure.
It's just time of the day. Sometimes my social media drops off, but yeah.
Social media. Wow. I mean, you talk about an investment of time that's necessary.
Oh, social media, like, it's almost a full-time job if you want to keep up with your social media constantly.
I know. Gosh. Oh. What's the name of the company?
Jarhead Diag.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Okay. So that your mobile company and the tool company.
Correct. It's all in one. I was kind of making discussions. My wife and I were talking. We might try and separate that later on to kind of have their own two separate entities. It kind of, I guess, depends on how much it grows and everything.
Well, tax reasons, revenue reasons, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, liability reasons, I'm sure. Yes. Wow. Interesting. Life here, Brandon Dills from Jarhead Diagnostics. You're here because of how much I like to talk about mobile today. And I wish you all the success in the world. I'm sure the door-to-door, the flyers, the Facebook ads, and is how people have to start today.
Correct. And like you're saying, Facebook ads, I can tell you 100%, and this is from the tooling side, because I do it a whole lot more for tooling. If you're not running advertisements, like I can literally watch my analytics drop off. Right after ad finishes running, my analytics, they just drop way off, and then I start running another ad, they pick back up, so...
Facebook is a drug or an addiction, or they've designed it like that.
Yes.
In fact, no matter if you put a post out, they'll say, well, we won't show this to anybody until he takes an ad.
Yep.
Don't you think that they do that? Don't you think Facebook's that smart that if they've got you hooked on their drug ads, they can manipulate you?
Yeah, especially like my business page. Anytime you post something on there, it's always, do you want to boost it? And so I typically never boost it, but I can watch. Sometimes I can make a post, and I've got, I don't know, it was maybe about 3,000 people that follow my Facebook page, 3,000 people, but I'm only getting 100 or 200, 300 views. So, yeah, I fully agree that if you're not doing something financially kicked back to Facebook, then...
Well, hey, look at Brandon Dills. Thanks for taking some time out of your busy ASTE schedule. Jarhead Diagnostics, I wish you the best, man.
Thank you, sir. Thank you for having me.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.